Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
All right. It's good to be home. Good to bring some joy after last week's fiasco with the State of Origin. But, you know, we are charitable people here in Queensland. We have to give them a chance, you know, so that was a donation for New South Wales. But, yeah, it's good to be here. Just like Michael said, my name is Nelly, and I'm your new pastor. Really, really excited to be here. Pray for my kids. They're under a bit of jet lag. It's only 2 hours, wimps. But it's like, come on, get up, man. But yeah, they're doing okay. So my wife and my two older ones will be here later. Do you have a clicker or are we good? Thanks. I wanted to honor everybody here who volunteers as a part of, a part of this church, whether you are on campus as one of the leaders on campus or you volunteer to make this all happen. Because, you know, when you come to church, you can often take for granted that this all takes time to set up, this all takes time to rehearse. Having this facility available to us as a church comes because we have a thriving campus ministry here on this campus of UQ, which is one of the top universities in our country and across the world. So we're very privileged to be here. So if you're a volunteer, can I get you to stand up real quick? Because we really want to honor you. Stand. Everybody give them a warm round of applause this morning. Thank you for serving so tirelessly. That's right. These seven people make everything happen. I know that some of you, you can go ahead and take a seat. I know some of you are like, you know, I'm not sure if I can trust him because he's new. That's fine. I just wanted to kind of, let me go through this, reintroduce you to my family again. You'll meet them later. You probably saw Jordan over there. She was doing pro wrestling with Jonathan. It's me, myself, and Tina, my wife. God is good. And then on the top left is Zion. He's my mini-me. He's 4 years old. Then Nazareth is on the bottom left. She's six, about to turn seven. And then, of course, Jordan. This was when she was much younger. I may have mentioned before, I know Tina mentioned it the last time we were here, the reason why Jordan is special. They're all special, but Jordan's very special. She's a history maker, is because she actually broke the record in Singapore for being the heaviest baby ever born in Singapore. I know, right? Where does the size come from? Because when you see the supermodel that stands before you, you're wondering, goodness me, where does the size? This is actually from the newspaper. They were going to put it on the front page, but it was too small, so they spread it across the second and third page of the national newspaper in Singapore. She made the news, and even that had to be scaled down to fit the newspaper. So basically, when she was born, I was holding her in one arm like a football and tweeting and texting everybody, look at my beautiful baby, full of hair. She's awesome. All my kids are awesome. So that's a little introduction to my family. I don't know if you guys know, but we have basically a little bit more background. For myself, I'm Samoan. I'm from New Zealand. I was born and raised in Auckland, New Zealand. And it's really good to see Polynesians again. Let me just tell you that we're just like big Filipinos. Just you know, sobra. So basically, I grew up as a pastor's son. My dad was a congregational. He's passed away since. My dad was a congregational minister. I did everything I could to run away from ministry, but God managed to pull me back. I wanted to actually be Kanye West before Kanye West became Kanye West. But God said, no, that's not happening, because he's going to go crazy and you are not. How many of you are thankful that God had his hand on you, because you would have gone crazy, but he has his hand on you to draw you back? And so God got a hold of my life in 1998. I, you know, discovered the Lordship of Jesus. He became Lord of my life and haven't turned back since. You know, like, To be a pastor is a real honor. In 2000, I with Chris Ahoni over there and Seta and Novaline, we became a part of what was called Morningstar at the time, became Every Nation Church in Auckland. Only a couple months later, we met Dave and Kim Koss. You know, just over time, because of our pastor Ken Du, who really is a spiritual father to a lot of us. And so it really is an honor. I count it a, oh, here they come. Hi. I count it a real, come. Ah, yeah. Come. I'm talking about you. Beautiful woman of God. Come in here. This is Zion and Nazareth. Everybody give them a round of applause. The kids' church is out there, Ma. You can. I just wanted to show you off because you're better looking than me. Give them a visual break from. Okay, we're moving on. So anyway, just a little bit more background. So 2000, I became a part of Morningstar. I was studying theology. I was doing my post-grad studies in theology. And then, God called me to ministry through Pastor Ken, and I became part of the pastoral staff in 2000. So it's been 14 years since I've been pastoring and a part of, in full-time ministry. In 2006, I got married to that beautiful woman. She actually, saw a vision of me. And No, God really grew a heart for Asia in my heart. And so for the last 8 years, I've been based in Singapore as a part of our Every Nation Church in Singapore. I see the Owens here. They're from our church in Singapore via here as well. For the last 8 years, I've been serving there as an associate pastor. Became the lead pastor of one of our locations just over 3 years ago. But the whole time was really specializing in the area of worship ministry and served a lot of our ministry around that region. So spent a lot of time in Manila and Indonesia, Malaysia, and the other countries that where we have an Every Nation presence. Doing a lot more in terms of training with regards to worship. But that's enough talking about me. That's way too much. Let me just journey you through really quickly in 2 minutes, kind of how we landed here. Basically, since September, October, I'd gotten wind. One of our pastors in Singapore was actually being eyed to come and be a part of the church here and to pastor the church here. You may remember him. His name was Charles Curtis. And I believe he came and spoke here earlier. So I got wind of, oh, hey, they're looking for people to take over because Pastor Ken was transitioning to Dallas. So anyway, all of that was happening. But I was kind of, I was really set because, like, on one hand, God was doing a lot of work in Singapore, and it still is. We have a great church in Singapore. It's been growing really quickly. When I arrived there 8 years ago, we were about 250 people. And then since leaving, we're now hitting 2,000. So God is growing the church quite quickly. So be a part of that church and pastor one of the locations, and then to oversee the music ministry of the whole church was quite a task. And there was a lot we were doing. We're actually in the middle of working on a new album, and the church is growing. So I'm steadfast in what God is doing. How many of you know that, God can take what you think is good and make it even better if you'll just open your mind? And I came and visited towards the beginning of the year. Actually, I wasn't really planning on moving here or even thought about the possibility of coming back to this part of the world. But God just awakened in myself and Tina. And for all you married couples, when you make major decisions like that, let me encourage you to make them together under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When it comes time for trials, it's easy for one to point to the other and go, oh, see, you're the one that heard from God. I don't know if this is God. Maybe you're dyslexic, you heard from a dog. It's just so you know what I'm saying? It was kind of in unison. I was here checking it out and just getting a feel for the city. And just to give you a bit of background, to also pray, because, you know, my children are very creative and artistic. My son is his learning development, we've faced some challenges. And so in Singapore, it's very stringent, very clinical in the way, in their approach to education. And so it's been a little hard for them to adjust in the local school system. And then the international school system costs an arm and a leg. And so we were like, okay, God. And God's shown his favor to us while we've been there to start their education there in international schools. And God's just opened the hearts of principals to give us like major discounts or even just scholarship them through. But, you know, when that grace lifts, then so does your wallet. So, you know, it's kind of like, my gosh, you know, we really want to give our best to our children. And for me, and you'll hear this echoed in our movement across the globe, we'll never sacrifice our family on the altar of ministry. And it's a real honor to be here. And since visiting you the first time, I really fell in love with the city, fell in love with this church, fell in love with what God could possibly do in this city. We haven't seen anything yet. You may see what you see now, but I see this church being very influential in this city and reaching this city and this nation for Christ. Each one of you are here because God brought you here, okay? And God has placed us here. Some of you may not think that right now, but I just wanted to just echo the sentiments of the Holy Spirit and just realign you with God's purposes here, because he has some major stuff he wants to do through Every Nation Brisbane. We are going to make an impact in the city. We're already seeing major impact on this university again, which is one of the most influential universities across the Southern Hemisphere. So you better believe that God's going to use this church to impact society. So, you know, I just wanted to give you that background, because I think I owe it to you to know this brown dude standing up here who's going to be your pastor. And I'm more than open to build with you. Just to let you know my movements over the next few weeks, because I'll be in and out. My family is here. They're going to stay. We're going to Hillsong Conference this week to get better equipped to serve you. And then next weekend we'll be here. But then on July 11th, I'll be flying back to Singapore just to finish up my tenure. And then August the 3rd will be my last Sunday in Singapore. Then that week, I need you to pray real hard for me that week. I'll be here for a couple of days. Then I fly to Lagos, Nigeria to minister in our Every Nation North African Conference, and just to serve and worship and both and speak as well. And then I'll come back here. Then I'm grounded. Okay? So just in case you go, oh, I thought he was a pastor. What's, you know, I'll check his Facebook. He's flying everywhere. You know, so... So just so you know my movements, all right, and I need you to pray, and you know, my wife and my kids, as they settle in here, my kids, man, this is what really, so I don't usually stutter, but I'm just really blown away by how good God is. When we were leaving the airport in Singapore, and we're in the customs line, my daughter, you know, was bawling her eyes out, because her uncles and aunties were standing by the window, you know, the church family. And they were all standing there, and she's just like, oh, I'm going to miss my uncles and aunties. Probably because they stuffed, you know, $10 notes in her pocket and all that. Otherwise, no, she wouldn't miss them. But, like, she's, you know, and I was trying to comfort her, and I said, you know what, Nazareth? You've got great uncles and aunties waiting for you in Brisbane, too. You know, that you're going to be blown away by the friends that you meet. It's been awesome them hanging out with the Cost kids yesterday. I just believe that's the first of a lot of fellowship. And my family's real heavy on fellowship, so feel free to feed us. All right, let's get to the Word of God. Is that okay? As a form of introduction, just so you kind of get to know who we are. It's really hard to have because I don't usually talk that way. Now, preacher face. Let's move on. This was us at the airport the last time I came. As you can see, it's impossible to take a photo with three young ones. So that's the best I could do. I wanted to ask you guys this question, which I'll throw up here. What might be the one thing apart from Christ that if you lost it from your life may tempt you to lose all sense of meaning of existence. Let me read it for you one more time. What might be the one thing apart from Christ that, if lost from your life, may tempt you to lose all sense of meaning of existence? Tim Keller says it best. He says that whatever that thing is, exposes the idolatry that may lay in your heart. He says you can expose idolatry in a man's heart by asking this simple question. If that one thing is taken from your life, would you lose all sense of meaning? Think about it. Now, I've just shown you photos of my family. I've even talked a little bit about the ministry that I've been involved in. But does that really matter in the scope of all eternity in terms of how I worship the Lord or how I worship those things? See, you can tell what a person worships by what they give their time, their talent, and their treasure towards, what they give their finances towards, what they give their time and their passion towards. You may remember the last time I was here, I spoke about, you know, just some of the craziness that may happen. Let's use State of Origin for an example. And again, I'm a Queensland supporter, but I'm not a Queensland fanatic. There's a difference. Queensland supporter will wear the maroon jersey and cheer for them, but a Queensland fanatic will want to go and talk to the players and pretend they're part of their family and just think that their existence, I mean, they would have died last Wednesday. They're just like, lost all purpose. I can't live without you. You know, because their whole existence is wrapped up in the victory. I mean, you can imagine, I know that World Cup soccer is big here and it's great to see the Socceroos there. Sad the All Whites aren't there. But in Singapore, in Southeast Asia, soccer madness is crazy. Like, not even Spanish people were bawling their eyes out like somebody died when Spain didn't make the World Cup. Like friends that were just, you could see the tracks of their tears because they'd been crying so hard. That's a fanatic, okay? There's a difference between being a supporter and being a fanatic. Is that somebody that goes crazy nuts because when something doesn't go right with whatever that thing may be, they lose all bearings. Like for me, the two things that I know vie for my attention that way are family and ministry, and which is the reason why I bring it up early on. Let me tell you, ministry can also be an idol as well. Doing the work of the Lord has no point unless you know the Lord of the work. It's easy for that to overshadow what God wants to do in your life and how he wants to grow and how he wants you to grow in your relationship with him. So if you ask yourself this question, and I'd encourage you, for those of you who run small groups or connect groups, this is a great icebreaker question. Just ask yourself, and it's a good question to ask yourself each day, what's the one thing, if that was taken from your life, you'd lose all sense of bearing, all sense of existence. Another one could be career. Sometimes it's not like in Singapore, we celebrate our career so much that we're willing to just be so overly driven for whatever it might be. Like, and then we don't even have the time to enjoy the fruits of our labor. You know, I was in cultural shock last night, understanding that the stores closed at 5. I was lying in my bed like a cocaine addict trying to come out of rehab. Just like, where's the stores? I need some retail therapy, man. Go down to Coles. Coles is cold. There's nothing there, nothing open. I'm like, my goodness. So I go down to IGA and everything's 3 times the price. What's wrong with this place? No, it's not what's wrong with this place. It's what's wrong with me, because I wrap myself in a form of drivenness, a form of identity, being wrapped up in a driven lifestyle that, you know, and especially coming from New Zealand, man, we're so laid back, we've fallen over. And then going to Asia, you just go, 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 go. you find that a lot of times when you're going, you don't have time to ask this sort of question. Like, what is life all about? What's the one thing that I'm pursuing in this life? And it's interesting how every single God, every single thing that we try to encapsulate on the throne of our hearts will always fail us. Always fail us. For all the single ladies in here, that boyfriend, if you're tripping out on thinking that this man is going to be Jesus in your life, he is not. Let me just give you the caveat. He's going to fail you, okay? One day you're going to see under his pants, that you're going to see the socks he's wearing, and they're going to be mismatched. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I just can't believe that this guy would call himself a man of God and his socks don't match. You know, just something crazy like that. See, one of the marks of a successful marriage is when you don't idolize your spouse. You begin to see that we're called as a unit to pursue God together. I don't think that Tina's God, although she looks like a God. I don't think she's God, and I don't expect her to be perfect. I don't expect her to be God. But together, as fallible human beings, we reflect a perfect God in the way that we pursue him. What's that one thing in your life? Now, I'm going to go to four pieces of scriptures, and then we're going to be done today. But I want you to, if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. If you've got an app, go to Luke chapter 10. I think the holier you are, you carry a paper Bible. But if you want to go to a phone, I'm not going to judge you. Seriously, I think they should have an app that when you turn the pages of the Bible, it should sound like... that'll make you feel a little more holy. Luke chapter 10, we're going to go to... Verse 38 to 42, I'll have it up on the screen as well. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Whose house is it? Martha is a house owner. She's a homeowner. Okay, I want you to remember that. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listen to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Again, it's easy to serve in the house and be so caught up with the serving that you neglect the whole reason why you're serving. And when the presence of the Lord, I mean the literal presence of the Lord, is in your house, you miss it because you're so busy serving. Martha was distracted with much serving. And then she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to come help me. Ooh, ooh, ooh. If I talk that way to my mother, tell her to come help me. Ooh. Can you imagine? Like, I will find my face in Tuesday. I'm still here, you know. Like, my mother's about to turn 70. She can still beat me up. But I want you to understand this. This is the way she's demanding of Jesus. There's like a lack of revelation of who he is. Like, he's God. You've got God in your house, wrapped in human flesh. Tell her then to come help me. And this is what's funny. She's supposedly busy. She's supposed to be busy. Yet she still has time to compare herself with her sister. Shows the motive of her serving. You know, leading worship and kind of looking at who's looking at you, setting up speakers or serving in the church. Oh, I hope pastor sees me. What's the motive of why you do what you do? Don't you see? I'm busy. Come on, tell her to come help me. Oh, you got time all of a sudden to make demands of Jesus. And I want you to notice this too. Jesus answered her by saying, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing. Everybody say one thing. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The good portion, because he's using, again, references to what she's doing. She's busy cooking, busy preparing. And he's saying, look, if you really want to know what's cooking, you'd come and be served this portion of what I have for you. I've heard many preachers incorrectly say that Mary was just lazy and just sitting at his feet. No, those feet went somewhere afterwards. Jesus was on the move, but at that time, Jesus was sitting. What if revival was to hit Every Nation Brisbane, would you be able to recognize it, or would you be so busy serving, so busy doing what you think is right, or so busy going through the motions of what you've done in the past, that you miss when God wants you to sit down at his feet? That was a moment to sit down at his feet. That, see, this is Martha's house, and she knows what it takes to maintain the house. But when Jesus comes in and sits, she misses the moment that she's been waiting for, because she's so busy serving. What's the one thing? That's what I want to speak about today. This, if you want to put a title on it, it's called One Thing. What's the one thing? Because if it's not Christ, then we're in idolatry. If you understand this, idolatry is at the root of every sin. Because it's when we replace what should be on the throne, who is Jesus Christ, in terms of our source of provision, in terms of our source of wisdom, guidance, fulfillment, identity. If we wrap ourselves up with anything apart from Christ, we will always see ourselves fall short, and we miss the one thing that really matters. So I've looked at Christ. He's said this phrase, one thing. This one thing is needed right now. What is that one thing? Now I'm going to go to three other great men of God. Apart from Christ, obviously Christ is God. But three other men from Scripture. And we're going to look at this phrase repeatedly throughout Scripture and just see what they meant with regards to one thing. Psalm 27 verse 4. I know many of you already memorized this verse or may know it. I encourage you to learn this verse as in a form of encouragement as to what that one thing should be. What that one thing is that God desires for us to pursue. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that which I will seek after. Now, I want you to notice this. Firstly, David is still seeking after it, meaning he hasn't attained it yet. He's not there yet. He's pursuing it. He's looking for it. He's after it. Secondly, he's male. So he says one thing, and then he says three things. And all the ladies said, oh, man. Okay, one thing that I have asked of the Lord, that which I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, number one. Number two, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And then number three, to inquire in his temple. Now let's break those three things down that are one thing. Firstly, that I may dwell, not visit. Again, coming from Singapore, coming from Southeast Asia, we're always in pursuit, just going, 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 going. When God tells us to dwell, that means to live in. I served in the insurance industry for 5 years before pursuing my postgrad studies. Yeah, that's right. I studied theology in undergrad, then went into insurance. Makes sense, right? Study the truth, work for liars. We'd never call it house insurance. We call it dwelling insurance because it's the place where you dwell. It's the place where you reside. You live there. Like you become become yourself there. How many of you have experienced that with regards to the presence of the Lord? You know how to dwell, or are you all formal about it and all polite about it in terms of how you pursue the presence of God? God wants you to dwell in his house all the days of your life. So that means when you're going through great times of favor, and that means also when you're going through times of hardship and difficulty. Helen led us this morning and in that song, Blessed Be Your Name. That song was written by Matt Redman. And he and his wife wrote it at a time just right after they discovered they had a miscarriage. Like, they knew that they were still blessed the Lord. It's a beautiful reflection of the heart of pursuing God despite things going wrong. It doesn't make sense now, but I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Good days, not so good days. Dwell. Don't be a visitor in the presence of the Lord, a formal visitor who never feels at home in the presence of God. So it's to dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze, not glimpse, gaze upon his beauty. Don't just be like, oh, that's nice, and move on. A lot of times our eyes are occupied by what this world has to offer in terms of beauty. But that will not fulfill you. Take time to give God your attention. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher. He who began the good work in us will be faithful to complete it if we will fix our eyes on him. Gaze upon his beauty. And inquire. Okay, this is not like going to Westfield and going to the inquiry desk. Do you know where KFC is? You know, it's not that. Inquire means to take, in this sense, it means to take that which is questionable, that which you're not understanding fully. How many of you have ever been to in a situation where you haven't had all the answers? Some of you are in that situation right now. You've got circumstances in front of you. And to inquire in his temple means to go into the presence of the Lord, go into where he resides, and take all that you doubt, all that you fear, take everything that's questionable in your life, and just take it in the presence of the Lord and just go, you know what? I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand what's going on here. But there's an overwhelming peace because you know exactly what you're doing, because you're God. You're the one thing that I'm pursuing. And this is what David says, that which I will seek after. He's pressing in towards this on a daily basis. It is an effort. This is the only place, and I'm going to go to Paul real quick, if you've got your Bible, flip it over to Philippians chapter 3. But this is the only thing in the Bible where you really do see God saying you should strive to make this happen. Everything else, it is finished. But after the cross, there's this pursuit that God desires us to have after his presence, because there's so many things that are vying for our attention or our affection in this world to steer us away from the one thing that really matters. Paul puts it this way, and he talks in the whole chapter of Philippians chapter 3, he talks about all of his accolades. Like, I've got all these degrees. To the Jews, I'm Pharisaic. I know all the law. I'm a Roman citizen. I'm a Jew amongst Jews. So that's qualifications. This is like his curriculum vitae, his resume. It's like, I've done this. At the same time, I've been shipwrecked. I've experienced all this persecution. I've been imprisoned a number of times. And I count it all a blessing to have happened to me. So we can look at the first half of Philippians 3 and go, man, this guy's the man. He's done so many great things. But then he goes into this discourse where he begins to talk about, you know, all that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. He in fact says, I count it all rubbish. The word in the Greek is much stronger. It's dung. He counts all of his accolades, all the persecution, all the qualifications of what he's done for God, he counts it all rubbish, but to know him. And that's where this verse will meet us. In Philippians chapter 3, he says this, again, a male. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Because he understands that it's by the cross that he's been able to know Jesus. But one thing, again, a male, one thing goes into three things. I know, right? But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, some of us get stuck there, living in the 80s. Forgetting what is behind. Forget it. Leave it behind. Ask God for his grace to help you forget the offenses of the past, because it's like a bungee cord pulling you horizontally. You're trying to move forward and this memory of what has happened to you in the past. Look, I'm not trying to justify it. It was wrong. For some of you, it was wrong what happened to you, but leave it aside. That quality to decision to say, you know what, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to see this cord cut off of me. For some of you, it's just being able to say, look up and just say, look, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Some of us are battling unforgiveness or even allowing ourselves to be loved and forgiven this morning. And it's what's holding us back. And every time we try to progress in God, there's just like a yanking back. And the Holy Spirit would say today, I've already cut the cord. You just need to believe it's already been cut. Move forward, forgetting what is behind. By his grace, forgetting what is behind. Secondly, I press on. Again, there's this aspect of pressing and striving, which is the third thing. Pressing on. There is a conscious effort required here. Because again, the enemy will try to take your attention off of the presence of God. Even getting busy amongst doing the things of God. There's a difference. Because it's the presence of God that should empower your doing. It's the fact that it is done that in a thankful response we get to doing. Like, I'm thankful for Michael who serves here and serves on doing our website and stuff. And like, he does that because Jesus Christ has changed his life. I mean, I've only had a couple of conversations with him, but I see the joy of the Lord on this brother. And I know that God's changed him, and that's why he does what he does. He doesn't do what he does to please anybody, but he does what he does because he's been fulfilled in the death of his Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for his sins, and because of that freedom, he gets to do what he does. It's, you see, because being here at church and worshiping Jesus is not a got to, it's a get to. We get to do this. And that's why, because of the cross, see, this is where I don't like this message of greasy grace, where, woohoo, you know, Jesus has saved me, so I can kind of go forward and back and forward and back and forward and back. No, I don't think you've got the full revelation of the grace of God if you keep doing that. Because it's that heart of thankfulness that wants you to pursue him, pressing and straining and striving. I don't have it yet, but I'll seek after it. I'll put conscious effort, make time in my schedule to pursue the presence of God and let that empower the doing. For those of you who are students here at UQ, don't let your identity be wrapped up in your pursuit of a degree, but if Christ has changed your life, let this life be a thank you for all that he's done. I'm doing this degree because I want to pursue excellence and be the vessel of change that God's called me to be in my sphere of society because of what he's already done. I pursue him in my studies. I pursue him in serving in the church. I pursue him in my giving. I pursue him in everything that I do. Forgetting what is behind, I press forward. I'm straining forward. Press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. So here's our response, guys. I'm pretty much wheels down. We're going to land here. Revelation chapter 2. Another great man of God. A man named John. One of the disciples of Christ who also wrote the Gospel of John, of which he refers to himself. Some would say pridefully. Some would say, man, maybe that's just the way it was. He would refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, as if he didn't love everybody else, right? The dude that when they're eating supper, he'd rest his head on Jesus' chest and go, yeah, man, we boys, check this out, hanging, selfie, you know. Here's the thing, guys. Like, when you look at the disciples, if Jesus Christ was a lie, they wouldn't have died the deaths that they died. And, you know, Peter being crucified upside down. Thomas was supposedly the doubter. If you've ever visited Chennai in India, which is on the southeastern part of India, so much for doubting, right? He was buried there. He took the gospel as far as Asia Minor and to India for a doubter. He was just late to the party. If you remember, like, all the other disciples were worshiping him, he came in late. He's like, oh, what's happening? Jesus still takes him in. He says, you know, feel my hands and my feet. I know you're doubting. And then he bows down and worships Jesus. You don't do that with a dude you've been hanging out with, snoring around and eating together. If he's one of the boys, but he was Jesus. He was God and man at the same time. And that's why he was willing to take the gospel as a doubter to Chennai, India, to all through Asia Minor, these and die there. But I think about John the Revelator, who was, you know, reportedly by different Christian historians, Judaist historians, they record him being persecuted in the form of being boiled in hot oil, and he still didn't die. So they exiled him to the island of Patmos, And so John was like, okay, I think I'll write a book. And it was called Revelation. After having many visions of what God was to say. And so the book starts with a greeting in chapter 1 and just, this is what's about to happen. This is who Jesus will be revealed in the future. And then he goes into writing these letters from chapter 2 to chapter 3, these seven letters to the seven churches. And the first letter is to the church at Ephesus, which is where we want to focus on today, as a response to the one thing that God wants us to pursue in this life today. So he basically says to the church at Ephesus, man, you guys are awesome. You're doing great. I love the way you do apologetics. He mentions these guys, the Nicolaitans, who were preaching like a false gospel. He's like, man, you guys are good. You guys have been able to debate them and see them, beaten in the debates and preach the true gospel. And that's been awesome. That's been awesome how you've been running church. Everything is going well. And then he says this. But this I have against you. This one thing I have against you is that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Now, I'm not trying to exactly say it this way for us here in Brisbane, but I know you guys have been busy. I know you guys have been working really hard, and it's awesome. God wants to commend you. God wants to commend you for all your hard work, for all you guys here who are here on this campus, who've been facing, a lot of maybe adversity in terms of just like you talk to people and they've been standoffish towards the gospel being presented. He's like, I commend you for your efforts here on the campus and for everybody here within their different spheres of society, the different spheres of influence in their workplaces, on their schools. He's like, great job, but here's the one thing, guys. It's the one thing that really matters is that you've abandoned is that we've lost our first love, that we've abandoned the love you had at first. And so he goes, okay, this is the one thing, but I'm going to give you three steps in your pursuit of that one thing. Here we go. Another man, right? Remember, firstly, write this down. Remember from how far you've fallen. Okay, remember what it was like. For some of us in this room, maybe we've lost our passion for the pursuit of Christ the way we used to. Just go hard after him. Maybe it's because, things have gotten a little drier because of the activity. Sometimes because you may be in the pursuit of a battle, like just like a battle analogy. You're so hard and you're fighting that you don't realize when you stop for a moment that the wounds of the enemy need time to heal. And you need to sit at the feet of Jesus and allow the balm of Gilead, the Holy Spirit, to heal those wounds. Because you've been grinding and working so hard. And he's saying, remember just how far from far you've fallen. Secondly, repent. Turn away from sin and turn towards God. Now, it may not necessarily be a sin that you've allowed things to entangle you and draw you away from God. But once that thing takes the throne of your heart, it is a sin. It's called idolatry. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 actually says, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Meaning that there's some things that will vie for our attention that are not necessarily sin. But they become sin when they take our attention. They take the throne that rightfully deserves, that Christ rightfully deserves to sit upon. And from that point of view, we need to repent. We need to turn 180 degrees, and we need to turn hard in our pursuit of Jesus. Repent. Turn away from sin. Turn away from distraction. And turn towards God. Remember, repent, and then number three, do the things you did at first, which is the straining and the striving and the pursuing. Now, we all know that as a Christian, we don't need to strain and strive to receive his love. But be encouraged today that if you want to really know what this life is all about and why you exist, it's to pursue your first love. It's to pursue the love that Christ has afforded to you and made available to you. Because through that love, you'll be able to overcome sin, Some of you may have been stuck in habits that you've wanted to see broken. It's been easier to hide it, but the Holy Spirit will tell you today that as you pursue the love of God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which sounds like the greatest commandment, as you pursue Him with everything you've got, you just watch those chains stay broken. Number two, you'll just have a deep sense of fulfillment. I can safely say, at least right now, that ministry is not the reason why I live. I don't live or wrap myself. I don't trip out if somebody forgets to call me Pastor Nelly, if you just call me Nelly. I see it as a form of respect, yes. But I don't trip out, hey, don't you know who I am? I'm not one of those pastors because I recognize I'm crucified with Jesus. My identity is wrapped up in Him. He fulfills me. He completes me. But there's so many whack Christians that'll trip out if their seats, if they don't have a designated seat, or people they get forgotten. Oh, they forgot to shake my hand when I came in. And no, if your identity is wrapped up in the pursuit of Christ, you don't fear all that stuff. You don't get. It's hard to offend somebody whose identity is all wrapped up in Christ. If anybody had the right to be offended, it was Jesus. Oh, we'll be with you to the end. We boys. And then deny the association with some little girl around a campfire. I don't know who he is. Anybody had the right to be offended was Jesus. But the unoffended one resides in our hearts now. And as we pursue Him with all we've got, the chance to be offended just doesn't stick to us like Teflon. It just washes away. But you got to pursue Him daily, because the enemy will throw these weapons at you. And I was telling David, I had like 6 messages to choose from, because I'm all about like the spiritual side of me would be like, okay, God, what do you want to speak to the people here in Brisbane? And then the worldly side of me was like, oh, I've got to give a good first impression, you know, because this is, you don't get another chance at a first impression. But as far as I'm concerned, none of that matters but to encourage you to pursue God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And maybe some of you today, have allowed you, just the enemy to come at you and to just draw you away. Draw your attention away from Him. And I understand, I get it. But understand this, the world has nothing to offer you of eternal circumstance. Nothing. So you're at a point of choice today. I mean, with the 2 different types of people that are here. Like, go ahead, Rishi. With the 2 types of people that are here, I want you to focus in on me. Firstly, there's a type of person that's sitting here and you're like, you know what? I'm doing okay. I'm pursuing God with all I have, but I want to go much harder. And then you're probably here, and you may not even know. You either don't know who He is, or you do know who He is, but you've allowed yourself to go a little dry. And it's okay. It's not okay that you're in that position, but it's okay that you're here by the grace of God. You made it to church. Maybe for some of you, it was a struggle to get here. And can we be real? Because we're family. I'm not Pastor Ken. I'm not Ken Do. And I get that. I'm not trying to be him. He was great. And he is great. He's a great pastor. He's my pastor. I tell everybody in Asia that that's my spiritual dad. But we stand on his shoulders of everything that he's deposited in this land. But we didn't pursue him. We pursue Jesus. All our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that this is what marks out for us. This is where the line is drawn for us as the next generation. Myself being one of you. Are we going to just stay in that place? Because the best way that we can celebrate those who have deposited in our lives and started these great works is to stand on their shoulders and pursue it even harder. and go in the direction that God's called us to go in. And I understand. I understand that trust is going to be built over time. Obviously, I can't demand your trust right away, but I'm hoping to build a relationship with you. I even believe that just in the way I'm presenting this to you, that God is even beginning to show you just that we're all in pursuit of Him as fallible human beings. I, for one, am fallible. I'm not trying to be fallible. But again, as we pursue after Him, as we pursue after Jesus, we'll begin to understand that that's the one thing in this life that really matters. I just want to ask you, firstly, if you can put a smile on your face, just in reflection of how good God is, and just to thank Him for all that He's done for us. And then secondly, if that's you today and you desire to just reacquaint yourself with your first love and to pursue Him hard like you used to do or like you never have before, then I want to invite you at this time to take a stand for Jesus. Just maybe fold your table over and just say, look, I'm going for it with God. I don't care who else stands. I'm going for it with God. He is the one thing that matters. Just stand to your feet, because I want to pray for those people in particular before we go any further.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. In your presence, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome in your presence, Lord. This morning
we remember from how far we have fallen, and this morning we want to repent. We want to turn away from that which has taken our attention, and we want to turn our eyes towards you. And Lord, we want to do the things, we want to commit this morning to doing the things we did at first. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of a time, a former time of passion, or maybe for those of you who are standing because you've never had that passion before, I just sense the Holy Spirit's going to begin to remind you of what it's like to be that way, or remind you, or even show you what it's going to be like. Then allow the Holy Spirit to begin to tell you things that you need to see rectified in your life. Maybe before you used to wake up early, but now you're not, you know, to get some time of prayer in and pursue Him in worship. But now you've allowed the things of this life just to get you off of that Maybe the Lord is calling you to wake up earlier. Maybe the Lord is calling you to carve out time. It could be worshiping. It could be getting together with your spouse and praying together. It could be setting time aside for those of you who are musical to pull out a guitar or whatever it may be, just to acknowledge Him and pursue a lifestyle of worship, remaining, dwelling in His presence. Just allow the Holy Spirit to remind you. And if at any moment, I'm just going to give you about 2 to 3 minutes right now, just in the presence of the Lord. If at any moment you want to sit down and just get your phone out or get something to write with as to what those lifestyle changes will be. I don't want us just to get inspired in this moment, but let's be practical. What things need to change in my life so that I will carve out time and effort and even finances to pursue God like never before? Then over the next 3 minutes, just take time to sit down and just type in those things. I commit to doing the things I did at first. And then just type out those things. And then I'll pray for us. Can we do that just for 3 minutes? I know we're getting a little longer, but I just want you to just take some time to put some legs to this message. Give this a Monday handle for us to take away. Just get a phone out and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Don't get distracted on your phone and go on Facebook. This is not that time, okay? Thank you.
I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Sing, I'll never know, Jesus. Oh, to see my sin upon the cross. I'll never know to see my sin. Of it all, Jesus.
Lord, let this house, every nation, Brisbane, be marked as a people who know their God. Above all else, they know with intimacy, they know their God. Let it not be known for the awesome campus ministry or production or the logistical side of services, Lord God. Let us be marked as a people who know their God well, who are in hot pursuit of their God, and will not relent in their pursuit of God the way that you did not relent in pursuing us at the cross. We're committed because you're worthy of nothing less than it all. And I commit, Lord, as these people's pastor, to pursue you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, we commit as a church to chasing after you, Lord God, with everything that we have. Take 30 seconds right now and just lift up your own prayer to the Lord. Just for some of you, it might be rededication. For some of you, it's just realigning. But just pursue him in prayer right now. Take 30 seconds just to pursue him in worship.
Together, love.
One more time with all your heart, say,
here I am to.
Lift your hands and let him fill you to overflow. Lord, this week we commit our ways to you. We commit as a church and as individuals to pursuing after you like never before. Lord, allow time for our schedules to just open us up, Lord God. For those of us who are committed to meeting you early in the morning, Lord, give us grace and wake us up, Lord. For those of us who pursue you in other ways, Lord, whatever those ways may be, we commit our ways to you. And we pray the prayer of Moses this morning, that you would teach us your ways. Your ways are much higher than ours. Your thoughts are much higher than ours. We commit to worshiping you, pursuing you. In the name of Jesus, everyone said amen. Come on, give him praise like you've never praised him before. Yeah. Come on, lift him up. Come on, he's worthy of it all. Give it to him. Yeah. on, one more time. Lift him up, lift him up. All right, real quick, just take a seat, and I'm going to get Dave to come and close us out. If there's anything else we need to do, I'll play some soundtrack music behind you.
Wasn't that awesome?
Take that one, bro. On this.
Wasn't that awesome? Let's give Pastor Nelly a hand. Amen. I haven't really had the chance to thank you, Pastor Nelly, for coming here. You know, like he said before, he's had... It was a good thing they had there. They had, you know, amazing ministry. You know, they had a lot of people, and they're coming here to a ragtag bunch like us, you know. But don't you just see the see something special is going to happen? You know, not just because, hey, he brings an anointing, but because, you know, something's been happening in our lives as well, you know. We know that something's been happening, and, you know, we're so privileged to have Pastor Nelly and Tina, the capacity that they have to come and just really... move us in the right direction that we're supposed to be going, to be an influence in this place. And we're just so thankful for you guys coming, obeying God's call to do
Thank
that.
Thank you guys for receiving me.
So that's powerful. So I encourage you to listen to their podcast. Michael, who's Pastor Nelly pointed out, is faithful in doing that, putting that up there. So it'll be there this Monday, right? Tonight. He's so faithful, you know. He's onto it. So listen to that again and just be encouraged by that word. Meditate on it. Just, you know, what God has been doing in our lives and is going to continue to do. And, just also want to encourage you today, if you can, just come along to our picnic. We've got that today. And just really spend some time with Pastor Nelly and Tina, getting to know them. We've got that. It's at Gaia Park, which is just down the road. If you don't know where that is, GPS it. Look on the map. Ask someone, you know. And it's not that far from here. So we'd love to see you. We've got some refreshments out here at the moment. And also, you can go to IGA to get some food. It's three times more expensive, but that's all right. There's also Nando's and a bakery down that way as well. So come along. We'd love to see you. Hang out and just get to know you better. Okay. Have a great week.
Hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.